Now, today is D-Day for the AstraZeneca vaccine. The European Medicines Agency will give its verdict on the jab, which has been suspended in a number of countries, including Ireland, following safety concerns. The EMA has already said it was unlikely that the reported adverse events were connected to the vaccine, and the World Health Organization also recommended that vaccinations continue. Luke O'Neill is Professor of Biochemistry and Immunology at Trinity College. Hello, Luke.
Hello, Mary. How's it going?
And I know from the get-go you felt that the vaccination program with AstraZeneca should not be stalled. But do you expect the green light today from the EMA for vaccinations to resume?
We do, Mary. In the grand phrase, we're cautiously optimistic, let's put it that way, you know, because they've made very clear statements. They said they were firmly convinced the benefits outweigh the risk. That was a couple of days ago. You know, WHO says the same thing. And then yesterday, COVAX, which is a massive organization for vaccination, they say the benefits outweigh the risk. So we can wait now. We're waiting as ever, but I expect them to give it the green light.
And would you think you might see terms and conditions applying, you know, that there could be some further actions or restrictions around the rollout of the AstraZeneca vaccine?
But the worst is that they will say there's a link, but it's extremely rare. And the rarity means we must keep using the vaccine. That's one possibility if they find some kind of a link, which, we, as I say, that we expect them not to. But there's still a chance of that. You know, they might say take low-dose aspirin if you're in a high-risk group of blood clotting, you see, as a precautionary principle. You know, again, that phrase. But still, I think it'll be given the green light, possibly with a couple of extra lines, just to reassure. It's all about reassuring people anyway. And on the one hand, it's not too bad that there's a bit of caution here, but sadly, of course, they've gone too far withholding it. I mean, I would have just followed the EMA's guidelines from the start, which said keep using the vaccine while we check these reported events, you see.
Now, if they put some conditions around the vaccines or some warnings, as you say, of a potential link at some stage, is that likely then to feed into to vaccine hesitancy? And even if they don't do that, given that we've had the program stalled, will that feed into a vaccine hesitancy where people say, maybe I'll have a vaccine, but I won't have the AstraZeneca vaccine?
Exactly, and that was a huge reason not to do this, because previous situations, we know, for example, the HPV vaccine was stalled in Japan, and when they reintroduced it, nobody would take it, you know, so there's evidence if you show any kind of hesitancy with vaccines, it gives rise to much increased level of caution. And there was a survey last week, you may have seen it, on Claire Byrne, 38% have said now they're anxious about this vaccine, so that's the downside. That means we need a big information campaign to remind people this is a very efficacious vaccine, 100% protection against severe disease and death, you see. But you're right, that's the big concern, that people won't want to take AstraZeneca.
And you'll have seen a report in today's Irish Independent about a study that I think is reported in The Lancet, which suggests that older people, people over 65, are far more likely to contract COVID a second time than people in the younger age cohort. So this will be worrying again, given that, again, AstraZeneca for a time was not being recommended for the over 65s.
Exactly. Yeah, and it wasn't too bad. The over 65s, there was a 47% protection against reinfection, which isn't too bad. You know, the under 65s, 80% decreased risk of reinfection. So you're right. The older people are slightly more at risk of reinfection than younger people, but still show some protection. But this makes it even more important to vaccinate that age cohort. As we know, the over 65 should be protected as much as possible because of those kinds of features.
What would you say to people who would have some hesitancy now? Maybe not, you know, they're not anti-vax, but they have some hesitancy now, given all that has happened around the AstraZeneca vaccine. What would you say to them?
It's very understandable. Let's start with that, Mary. I mean, AstraZeneca have hardly covered themselves in glory, have they? You know, but we've got to remind them the data is very compelling with that vaccine. As I say, 100% protection against severe disease and death. I mean, you know, that's the bottom line from this vaccine, really. And equally protects against infection, too, and also is stopping transmission. Remember, it's been in 24 million people now, that vaccine. And there was nothing to be worried about from that massive study. And then showing great efficacy. The UK, the numbers are looking great. I mean, big protection in the over 80s because of AstraZeneca, you see. So I guess all we can do is remind people of the good side of this, which far outweighs the bad.
Just want to ask you as well, we're still in level 5. We expect further announcements as we come into the first week of April about where we go from here. But at the same time, Luke, we're now seeing some plateauing in the numbers, even maybe a slight increase in the positivity rate at the moment. And I think maybe a growing fatigue with restrictions, perhaps an increasing clamour for an easing of restrictions. How does public health walk the line and avoid us ending up back where we were at Christmas?
Yeah, the concern now is this new UK variant, which is obviously spreading more all over Europe. You know, it's more transmissible, as we know by now. So that's probably part of the reason why things are plateauing. In other words, you need to double down on all the measures to really fight the new one that's a bit more transmissible. But I do think, Mary, they'll have to give us some relief, because it can't go on the way it is. People's mental health, as we know, is in trouble here. You could open up certain things that you know are relatively safe, you see. And again, we need an effort to say we're going to do this because we think this is a relatively safe thing to do, you see. So we're all hopeful there'll be one or two loosenings, shall we call them, on the 5th of April, and then we move on into April and May. And as we know, the vaccine is the way out, you know, hence it's such important to get this thing right, you see.
Okay. Professor Luke O'Neill, thank you for your time this morning. 2 minutes to 9.